Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way. The trip to the drive-thru at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie. Kind of odd if Brupolo was in... I don't know, there's so many good names to pick. I never really know which way to go. Have I done learned it yet?
I don't think so.
All right, then. It would be weird if Brupolo was in learned.
Shane Reed said yesterday it'd be really weird if it was in Tampa.
It would be. Well, you know, St. Brudersburg would work.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. Tampa.
Speaking of Shane, I stopped in at Woody's the other day and got me some chicken nugs.
So I had a thought, and maybe we'll do this next year, of doing a throwback podcast the week of the SEC championship game where we, you and I would preview the 1998 SEC championship game. And we could still do our sponsors, but instead of Strange Brew, we would talk about Woody's.
Hey, we're talking about that.
Hey, talk about if you got a hankering for chicken nuggets and JoJo potatoes, we know where to go.
Dude, that place was popping the other day. I stopped in there on the way to Hattiesburg for the state championships, and I was like, I'm getting some nuggets.
Yeah.
And so I got that, you know, they just like put it in like a paper bag.
Yeah.
And you got the potato logs or the wedges.
When they would stay open during finals till like 5 a.m. or whatever, basically they would just close down to clean for an hour and then come right back to work. I mean, those were the days, man. Getting pile up in the car after studying all night.
Heck yeah.
3 a.m.
It was bad for my health. I lived a mile from there for like 6 months. And that's where I went and ate because there was nothing else. I mean, you'd have to go to Louisville to get something. So they had everything you wanted right there in Woody's.
There it is. So we'll think about that idea for next year. We might. It's just, I think it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
All right. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise you are looking for this holiday season. They've got two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. They're in Flow by the Half Shell. You've got to think time is running out on terms of, you know, if you want to order something from collegecornerstore.com, getting it shipped. So go there today. Check out what's going on. I've sent out some links the past few days to some items that I'm a fan of. Maybe give those a look. But you can always find whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler on the corner of Washington and Main Street. That is the corner of cuisine here in Starkville. That is the place to go. That is the flagship restaurant in this town. The way they do it, I keep talking about it. I don't understand how they go from like this, you know, Southern meat and, you know, three kind of place during the day to white tablecloth at night. But they pull it off, and they have been doing so for a long, long time. So if you're looking for the best blue plate in town, they've got it. But if you're looking for a fancy meal, you want to impress somebody, Restaurant Tyler is always number one on my list. Firehouse Subs, that's the place this holiday season to go pick up a party platter from. You'll be as welcome as Santa at the Christmas party if you show up with Firehouse Subs. Call your local Firehouse Subs to find out what deals they've got. And, of course, that's always a great place just to stop in for lunch, especially if you're using the Firehouse Subs app. Download it now. You get free reward points on every order you place. Locations in Starkville and Oxford, Tupelo, Columbus, Flowood, and Madison. That is Firehouse Subs. So just so everybody, we clearly, I didn't explain yesterday. It's just a timing issue yesterday. The delay of State's bowl announcement cost Robbie the spot on the podcast. The man had to go to church. I can't say no, skip out on that and do the podcast.
What were people happy, sad? What was
I have the... received no feedback whatsoever. So
oh, okay. You made it sound like you had to clarify.
No, but
like
I just wanted to be sure why people knew why you weren't here. You were neither missed nor mourned.
Well, that's depressing.
Well, you know,
I think I'd rather just be.
You've been having a pretty good run of things lately. I had to bring you down a little bit.
Have I been having a good run at things?
You just had a great weekend in Hattiesburg. Had the anytime you get to eat at two Robert St. John restaurants in a weekend.
That's and I almost went to three. I almost went to Midtowner, but I was
you
like,
Midtowner
I get...
for breakfast on Sunday.
No, I had to. I slept in a little bit out. On Sunday. I know. Yeah. You know. I know. Oh, I missed.
I know.
Out,
I know.
I didn't know when breakfast ended. Or
what
is
was
it
the
all
quesadilla?
Day thing?
They're open for lunch.
Chicken quesadilla. It was. Oh my god. We went to Mahogany Bar after mm-hmm. the game. It was only open for like a few more minutes because we got done at like 11.
Mm-hmm.
And I was starving, so I wanted something off the menu, and they had, you know, like the
little bar food.
Their bar food is not like your normal, like, we got some nachos and like some, right. like, we got a hamburger we can make you, and it's not very good.
No.
Like some wings out of the freezer. No. This is like legit
food.
Quesadilla.
Yeah.
I don't know what all was like seasoned in the chicken or what, but it was shredded chicken. It tasted like it had been marinating or something for like a couple of days.
Yeah.
And it was phenomenal. I shared a quesadilla with our friend Matt St. Jean, who is in his final days at WTVA. We're going to miss him.
We will.
But his quesadilla didn't come out, and I had two quesadillas the size of my head that came to the table. So I was like, Matt, I'm getting fat, but I can't eat this. Like, my stomach's starting to expand over time, but I cannot eat this.
So but it was, would be like me.
But it was delicious, man. And then, of course, Ed's Burgers that day was
favorite.
Great, too.
My favorite. All right, let's get into it. And, you know, yesterday's show, Robbie, I made a public service announcement because I wanted to let everybody know that they needed to prepare themselves for Mississippi State to possibly be ranked in the AP Top 25, not in football, men's basketball. Now, I'll tell you that, you know, I like Chris Jantz. I'm very hopeful about his tenure here. I thought he was the right hire. Nothing but positive things. But you could have knocked me over with a feather if you had told me on December the 5th I was going to be talking about a ranked Mississippi State men's basketball team. This rebuild, and that's what it is. It is a rebuild. It's just ahead of schedule. State's net came out today. They did the first net rankings of the 22-23 season. State's fifth. They only have four non-conference games left to play. Three of them are against low-ranked teams. One, Drake, that has a Q2, Q1 opportunity there. But regardless of that, there are only four games left. At worst, State's going to be in the top 30 of net, and then they enter conference play where your net's just going to sort of stay where it is because the SEC is a good basketball conference. They have a legitimate chance if they can finish near 500 or at 500 in the league to go to the NCAA tournament in year one. This guy's a miracle worker thus far.
You win 8 or 9 games in SEC play, you got a shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't slip up here in non-conference play. But to be sitting at 5 in the net, I mean, in the past, we've been talking about, like, the team's been in, like, the hundreds at this point.
Yeah.
And you're saying, well, they're going to play some good teams in SEC play. It's going to work out.
Yeah.
Just, you know, get to 10 wins in SEC play, maybe win a couple of games in the tournament. You got a chance to get in the NCAAs. This team is firmly – I haven't seen the latest bracketology, which I assume comes out at some point today.
Yeah, you would think.
But they're firmly in the NCAA tournament. To have a net where it is right now, and just about every national college basketball writer is on board with Mississippi State at this point. Gary Parrish has State 11th, I think, currently. I think Jeff Goodman's been high on Mississippi State.
He has been in his top 25, yes.
I mean, these guys have been kind of ahead of the game, and I don't know if it's a relationship with Chris Jans, if they've, like, kept a close eye on Mississippi State or what, but they are obviously very impressed with what they've seen so far. And listen, again, this is going to continue to be – I don't know another word to say about this, but it's an ugly-looking 8-0 because that's kind of what this team does. They muddy things up. They make games ugly because of what they do on defense. They're not going to be great on the offensive side of the ball, although the efficiency is climbing a little bit, I think. But the defense is elite at this point. They've held every single team they've played to 55 points or less. And in this age of basketball, and it's kind of the same in football in some respects where offense is kind of, you know, ruling all, everybody's scoring points. To do that at this stage is pretty amazing. It's kind of what Virginia's made a living doing over the past few years,
yeah,
as well, what they do. There's not many teams that can do this, that can limit teams like that. And there's going to be some good teams that State plays and SEC play, but now we're starting to see, you know, that you start pulling the microscope back a little bit and you start seeing Marquette getting a top 10 win last week, Utah getting a top 10 win last week. Mm-hmm. You absolutely just strangled those teams defensively.
Yeah.
And those are teams that could score points and Marquette, did score points.
You gave up 55, I think, to Marquette, and they scored 96 on Baylor, the number six team in the country at the time.
Yeah. So the State's not just doing this against a bunch of cupcakes.
And it's not smoke and mirrors either. These are real performances. The metrics are going to bear that out. The metrics are going to like Mississippi State all season long because of their defense and the way they play. And I mentioned this on Thunder and Lightning Live. I believe when Jans talks about the offense will come, these guys were all good scorers at some point in their basketball career. They know how to get the ball into the hoop. I think State's going to continue to improve as a shooting team. When Deshaun Davis comes back, that'll be a big boost for this team. That it will hopefully be in this Sunday game against Minnesota. Minnesota is not a good basketball team. This is a chance to get a true road win, though, which is always a plus for your resume. I mean, it's difficult to wrap my head around how much better they are. I mean, I honestly thought at this point, okay, that the tournament in Fort Myers, they'll probably split there. They might drop another one just because maybe I've just sort of gotten used to the Howland results over the past few years. But this team is so far ahead of schedule, it's a joke. I mean, right now, what are we talking about for year two when you hit the portal again and now you've got a year's worth of results to bear it out? Mississippi State made the right hire. I mean, I hate to judge it 8 games in. I really do, but you can't say anything but Chris Jans is his touch on this program has been fantastic.
Oh, there's no doubt. It'd be different if you were sitting here and State's only played the Arkansas Pine Bluffs and the valleys of the world. And they have those teams on the schedule, but to do it against teams that we know are going to be good, like Akron, Utah, Marquette, even Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, we expect them to be good. They returned everybody from an NCAA tournament team.
Mm-hmm.
They're not playing a bunch of scrubs. So it's been really impressive to see what Chris Jans has implemented in year one. And to do it, to put together a defensive unit that's so cohesive at this point, and so impressive in how they switch. The switching to me is what's really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
They switch from one guy to the next. I mean, how many times did we see under Ben Howland getting late to a shooter, you know, not being able to switch in time off a pick? This team switches so well. They close on shooters really well. It's just a suffocating defense.
They were so bad.
Hard to score.
They were so bad at help defense a year ago that I was of the opinion they should just stop having help defense. Just play your man and go from there because they continually left wide open shooters. This team, however, has found the formula. They've cracked the code on how to help and not give up open shots as a result of it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I didn't get to watch any of the Valley games. I was at Hattiesburg.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you really take away from that game, but
they dominated it though.
It was just another game that I think they struggled kind of in the early going.
Yeah.
To really pull away, but
they ended up winning at 30.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say about that? But I've been impressed with Cam Matthews this year. A healthy Tolu obviously has been the difference for Mississippi State. I mean, you could not get him healthy for a long period of time last year, and I think that was a big issue for them and their consistency. Having that guy that's just an alpha down there that you know you can get 20 points from, you can get double-doubles, that's going to be huge for them. And I think Deshaun Davis, when he gets back healthy, mm-hmm. that should go a long way for them because he was the difference in that Utah game when, mm-hmm. when State just could not get anybody to buy a bucket. He kind of pulled him out of it. And I think that's what he's going to be able to do for you. I think he's going to be able to hit some big shots for you, which, quite frankly, I wasn't really expecting that out of him. When you looked at his numbers of what he had at Oregon State, I wasn't expecting him to come in here and be a guy that could knock down some big shots for you. But he's been really good when he's been in there. I mean, looking at his stats right now, 6 of 9 against Utah, 2 of 3 against Corpus Christi, 2 of 2 against Akron. So he's only missed like 5 or 6 three-pointers this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to continuously hit at a 70% clip, but right. he's a guy that if you can get, you know, 40%, you're going to be happy about that.
And so the train goes on. State and having a week off this week kind of works for Mississippi State. They've been a little banged up. You know, Jamel Horton was back in the lineup on Saturday against Mississippi Valley. But getting him 100%, getting Davis back to 100%, which you think he should be able to play in this game against Minnesota, will be huge for Mississippi State. And then, like I said, it's Jackson State and Nichols, and then you have the game in Nebraska against Drake. That closes out non-conference play, and then you know you're into the SEC. You don't really go in lightly with Alabama and Tennessee as your first two games, but should have a ton of momentum. And the way they play basketball, they're just going to be tough for everybody in the conference because they muddy the game. They make it so ugly that even teams like Kentucky, who have a huge talent advantage over Mississippi State, although I will say that Tolu Smith is one of the few guys in the conference that can maybe go head-to-head with Oscar Tshiebwe, but they just make it a street fight. And that's something when you don't have the talent that other teams have, being able to do that and drag them down into the dirt, That's a winning formula a lot of times.
Yeah, because it just makes you really uncomfortable. And when you get uncomfortable, whether it be at home or on the road, it really changes everything that you like to do. So I think they're going to be in just about, if not every game they play this year. And the difference is in between wins and losses is going to be, can they be efficient on the offensive side of the ball? Can they come up with possessions where, you know, if shot clock's running down and you miss a three-pointer, can you get an offensive rebound and stick it back in? You don't have to come out there and shoot 45, 50%, but can their possessions somehow end in points more often than not? And that sounds like, you know, easier said than done, but in those kind of games, that's what's going to happen. State's going to have a big shot. They're going to have to be more efficient on the offensive side of the ball than the other team is. And as long as you're playing that defense, you're going to have a chance to do that. And I think by the end of the year, this offense will be better than it is right now. I think everybody's going to improve as the season goes on. But right now, it's not particularly pretty all the time. But I think that's how you're going to see this team under Chris Jans more often than not. He's going to get some guys in here that are going to be able to score the basketball a little better than the roster that he has. But as long as you have that foundation of defensive principles and intensity that they do, you're going to have a good program. That blue-collar mentality, that grinded-out mentality, that's going to win you a lot of ball games. It still works. No matter what's happening with the Golden State, you know, Warriors brand of basketball that's kind of expanded across all stages, defense is always going to be the difference between championship teams, winning basketball teams, and the ones that are just posers. Because defense travels from home to away, wherever, neutral site, wherever you're at, that defense is going to be consistent throughout the entire season.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. So, fun team to watch thus far. We'll see how far they can take it. It's going to be interesting to be interesting in March. I'll just say that.
And I think, you know, there's a lot of people that are still kind of upset about the crowds and all that stuff. I think that's going to come.
It's going to be a process. And
yeah,
that first home game with Alabama, it's not going to be a great crowd. I mean, it could be half full, maybe even 6,000. But until the students are back in town, you don't have that. The game with Ole Miss on January the 7th is going to be the measuring stick. That should be a not only a good crowd, that should be a crazy old school Humphrey Coliseum kind of crowd. State,
I think, just like right now,
yeah,
it's always going to be difficult to get people to go see Mississippi State versus Mississippi Valley.
Yeah,
I mean, it just is. It is what it is. People don't want to go see Mississippi State versus Mississippi Valley. Right. A lot of people didn't want to go see State versus Omaha. I mean, it's just when you have that kind of schedule early on, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
But I will say this.
Especially when you're coming out of a decade of not playing well.
Right. I think that there's been a conscious effort by people to get to the games. There's
a buzz.
It's been better crowds than normal.
I agree.
Sure. This is just the beginning of the Jans era. I mean, let's give it a little bit of time. I think SEC play is really going to come this year.
And people are still a little nervous, you know. Howell has had some years where he got off to a hot start. It's always that first game with Ole Miss. It's always that game. If Jans wins that game, the amount of goodwill and credit he's going to have is going to be enough to almost take him through the season. Needs to beat them that first game and reestablish Mississippi State as the top dog in this state in basketball. And then you just sort of go, you can sort of glide on from there. So huge game on the 7th.
And I think it's important for people to remember too, there's going to be some downtimes for this team this year. The 8-0 start is great, but they're going to have some losses.
Right.
And there's going to be some nights where you say, gosh, this offense is not good. And it is what it is. It's going to be some growing pains for this team. But you can see the early stages of Chris Jans' principles, of the foundation that he lays in his program.
Mm-hmm.
State's going to have to fork out some money for this guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you. He's going to be a hot commodity. And I believe the fan base is going to get behind him. But you guys better get to the hump.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to sell him on staying here, I think.
Agreed.
I think might not be this year. It might be next year or the year after that. But somebody's going to come calling after this guy because he is a stud.
Yeah.
When he gets it, he knows how to build a program, knows how to coach. He needs the support, and he's going to need the money too. And I think State's going to be willing to pay him.
Let's move over to a different topic here before we go to commercial. But that is, if you've heard anything today, if you heard the noise, that's the transfer portal and how busy it's been for NCAA for college football. Chances are that you yourself have entered the transfer portal and you're not quite aware of it. I think at this point, you know, the portal has been open since midnight on Sunday night, or I guess Monday morning. It's now 1:24 Monday afternoon. Almost 800 kids have entered the portal. I saw a stat that nearly almost 4,000 entered a year ago, only around 800 of them found a permanent home, or at least at the same level they were playing at, I guess was the stat. Mississippi State, obviously not immune. We talked about Ra-Ra Thomas and Katravian Hargrove yesterday. Daniel Greek has entered the portal. I'm going to admit to being surprised by that. And I'll tell you,
I thought he would stick around a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you why. Yeah, because I think he signed in a 2QB class with a guy that was much higher rated than him. So I'm sure he had a lot of confidence in his abilities. Like, look, if I go in there and work hard and do some things right, I can win that job. But at the same time, you got to kind of know that you weren't the top guy, even in your own signing class. And you were coming to a school that had a freshman starting quarterback. It's kind of like, what did you expect? You could not have expected to be the starter this point or next year at this point, to be totally honest. So I'm a little surprised. I thought Greek came in and maybe he feels like he's gotten all he can, but I thought he sort of came in to learn under Leach, to do what he could, and then maybe go on from there. But we'll see what happens to him. We certainly wish him the best of luck.
Yeah, that one kind of surprised me a little bit too. I mean, in a sense, I thought eventually he would move on. But yeah, I mean, we kind of knew when he was brought in, he was the number two guy in the class. And it was going to be very difficult for him to contribute at all at Mississippi State. He might have played a game I can't remember. I don't remember him getting in a game, but I guess he just wants to play. He just wants an opportunity, and I can't really blame him at all for that. And for the guys that are entering the portal like that, that just want an opportunity, I can't fault those guys at all. The ones that I kind of scratched my head about are the ones that are very early on in their career. They have a chance to develop things like that. It's just kind of, you know, you're jumping into something that you don't really know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I'm all for kids having opportunities and choices and all that stuff. But it seems to me like the transfer portal has become this thing where, like, you feel like you got to get in because everybody else is doing it.
It feels like if you're not locked into a starting job, you feel like a bit of a sap for not jumping in there. And at least, and I will say this, and Lane Kiffin made this point a year ago, and I don't disagree with him. He said that if he were a player like Bryce Young, he would just get in the transfer portal just to see what's out there, right? Just to see what kind of NIL deals I could possibly pull in. Now with somebody like Daniel Greek, it's a little different, but you know, if I'm Judkins, I know I just signed this deal with the Grove Collective, but none of that binding. You could get better deals if you want. I would definitely just put my foot in there just because, you know, that way it's legal for everybody to contact you and you can find out what's going on. Not that teams aren't doing that anyway, but.
And I get that line of thinking. And since it's now a rule, you should.
Mm-hmm.
I just hate that.
I don't know what about it, Robbie. I don't mind the chaos.
I know, but I just hate the fact that we can no longer have, like, we're no longer preaching development,
mm-hmm.
the process of, I mean, here's one thing that I really, and I don't disrespect anybody that gets in the portal,
right?
But I respect a little more the guys, like the guys that announced last week they're staying at Mississippi State.
Right.
Every single one of those guys redshirted.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of those guys waited their turn, worked their way, learned the system, developed, and those guys are kind of, you know, unsung heroes in a sense.
Yeah.
Nobody's really talking about them as much outside of Mississippi State's fan base. State's going to have the top two tacklers in the SEC returning next year.
Yeah.
And they were both red shirts, and they both did hardly played at all their first couple of years.
Yeah.
And they worked their way into that.
I talked about this a little bit on yesterday's pod. That I think State, for the most part, because you look at their recruiting class, right? They're still going after three-star kids. They're not just saying, let's take 10, 15 high schoolers and then we'll load up the rest in the transfer portal. I think State's going to continue to try to do that and just hold on to guys as best they can. I think if you sign with Mike Leach, you kind of have to have some idea that that's what you're signing up for. That, you know, the number of impact freshmen under Mike Leach, it's a small number. So we'll see how it goes for Mississippi State in that effort. I think they'll be okay. But State, I think, does a pretty good job in terms of using the portal to fill the holes that they need. And they have some holes this year. You know, they could use another receiver, obviously, with Ra-Ra going. I think they probably going to put some eggs in the Ollie Jennings bucket, but everybody's going to do that. That's a guy that everybody's got an eye on. Will they look at the quarterback position? There have been some quarterbacks going there today that I don't think anybody was expecting. Devin Leary struck me right off the bat as a guy that Mississippi State should at least talk to and see if he's interested in coming to Starkville.
I mean, there's so many good guys. There's so many good guys out there. You have to at least try.
Yeah. You got to at least give it a try. So names are going to continue to go through the portal. I would fully expect it to be well over 1,000 by the time you guys listen to this on Tuesday. Maybe a few more Mississippi State players to go. Well, the thing with State players to remember is it's just to look at the roster and say, okay, who is this guy? Is it somebody that you were counting on, or is it somebody that, you know, okay, he's probably not going to play very much. So, you know, judge your reaction according to that. You know,
right now, the biggest, like, Ra-Ra was a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Anything coming out that, like, is a surprise is a bad surprise.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
At this point, like, if a starter comes out or something like that. And last year, that was Aaron Brulé. Maybe Ra-Ra is the only guy. Mm-hmm. I have not heard of anybody that's seriously considering transferring.
Right.
So it would be a new development right now. It's about, and I think it speaks kind of to Mike Leach and I mean, there's this sense about him that, you know, people think, you know, players don't like playing for him or whatever. He's a weird guy, all this stuff. Coaches love coaching with him, and he retains his roster for the most part. Yeah, I mean, right now, the guys that are probably going to leave outside of Rah Rah are the ones that they've just got to make room. I mean, they don't have the room.
Yeah.
And that's because they've been able to retain guys.
You don't want five scholarship quarterbacks next year. You don't?
Right.
So, makes sense. All right. Let's move on into the second half of the show. That's brought to you by our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. It's cold outside this weekend. So that means maybe you stay inside, you fire up the Dutch oven. Although we're calling it the Freedom Oven after that World Cup thing is what I was told. But anyway, get up, rub his face. It's just like, God, sucker.
What an exciting World Cup. They had three total points.
They had not who, the Americans?
Yeah.
They got 4 points. They had a win and a draw.
I was talking about goals. I consider those points. Oh, those count as points.
We don't call them points. Same as in baseball. They're runs, Robbie.
I understand, but they scored three times the entire.
That is correct. That is that no. That,
yes.
Yes. Yes. That is correct. Yes.
Exciting.
They'll get better.
Whee!
Anyway, big pot of chili sounds good. Big pot of spaghetti or any kind of red sauce pasta, always good. Taco soup, great. Beef stew, even better. Anytime there's beef in gravy, I'm probably going to be interested in what's happening in that pot. So head to the grocery store this weekend, grab some beef. The best thing about beef, the cheap cuts, they're the best ones to cook like that. Let them cook for hours, tender, melt in your mouth every single time. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends. The Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find smoked Southern soul food. I said on yesterday's pod, Robbie, we scratched off Restaurant Tyler from the list last week. Let's scratch off Two Brothers this week.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're in. And we'll go to the Cotton District, and we will enjoy some smoked Southern soul food, and we'll have a great time. This is what Two Brothers is all about every single time that you go there. Head over there and enjoy some smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Good product, great products, great service. Every business promises it. Advantage Business Systems delivers it. And they have been for 47 years, which really isn't that long when you think about it. It just, you know, feels like just the other day, right? 47 years, nothing to it. Now, next year when they go to 48, I can go back to talking about how long that's been. Anyway, when you need new technology for your business, call Advantage Business Systems. And when you need service on those products, call Advantage Business Systems. And get to talk to the same guy who made you the sale, not somebody in a call center from God knows where, not somebody from an out-of-state consultant firm that says, okay, yeah, I can be there maybe 10 days from now. No, no, somebody here in the state of Mississippi who's going to treat you like a neighbor. The number is 601-362-9192 or visit them online, avsms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. So you keep seeing them. I keep tweeting them. All the great products in the collegiate collection that the Rogue has to offer. They really are doing a great job of putting out some fantastic polos and quarter zips this holiday season. Get dad what he wants. A brand new quality polo. I see some of you guys need to step up your game. That's all I'm going to say. You're like, oh, that's too expensive. Step up your game. All right. You're buying a product that's built to last. You're not buying some shamalama ding dong Walmart product. That's going to be, you know, I got to get one every 6 months because, you know, it fades in the wash. All right. These are quality products. They're going to last you. Think of it as an investment and you'll look good instead of looking like, you know, hey, look at that guy. I wonder if he's a Mississippi State fan as I see him from 400 yards away with his entire shirt covered in the logo. I'm just saying.
Maroon is all that matters shirt.
None of those are available at the Rogue, thankfully. I might end my sponsorship with that. I'd be like, you know what? We had a good relationship, but it's over. So shop at the Rogue in Jackson. Shop on therogue.com. Don't live the three-stripe life. Shop at the Rogue. Well, let's wrap things up today with a look at the All-SEC team released by the Associated Press a little earlier today. Three Bulldogs mentioned, two on the first team. Tulu Griffin, first team all-purpose player. Manuel Forbes, first team All-SEC cornerback, and then Nathaniel Watson, second team linebacker. Looking here over the voters, some familiar names in there. I know that Portnoy guy pretty well. He's okay. Adam Cole votes. Adam Cole Bebe has a vote. What the heck?
That's right.
So of course Michael Katz up there at the Northeast Daily Journal.
Am I not in there?
You are mentioned. Yeah. Robbie Falk, okay. 24 Sports.
Oh, you just skimmed over. You started. Well, you named everybody but me.
I was about to get to that. I was going to get to that. I wanted to look at the names I knew, but I'm interested to find out what happened here, because you put on Twitter that you voted for Emmanuel Forbes as the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Well, Anderson wins that award, and it says here in this article he was the unanimous pick. Robbie, you've been shafted. You've been slighted.
I know this makes me very upset.
As it should.
He was not. I might have been the only person that voted for Emmanuel Forbes as Defensive Player of the Year.
But he was not unanimous.
But he was not unanimous. No, sir. I had, let's see, I had Tulu in Forbes' first team.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Nathaniel Watson second team.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of those were correct. Mm-hmm. My coach of the year was Josh Heupel. My newcomer of the year was Judkins. And my offensive player of the year was Hendon Hooker.
You pretty much nailed it. I mean, I assume Heupel, yeah, was picked coach of the year. Judkins, newcomer of the year. Hooker, offensive player of the year. And then, like you said, you had Forbes. Will Anderson was defensive player of the year. I would reach out to the AP and be like, hey, I need to know what's going on here. Because if my ballot's not getting counted, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Well, the thing is, my ballot, I was just looking at it. It's almost the exact ballot, selections.
Yeah. The only name I'm surprised from a Mississippi State's perspective isn't on there is LaQuinston Sharp. Maybe could have been second team center, but Stromberg from Arkansas, Cedric Van Pran from Georgia are solid picks. He can't.
Oh, Sharp was, I forgot. I put Sharp on my second team.
Yeah. Like I said, I can't argue too much. You said
I had Stromberg first team, Sharp second. I mean, My whole thought process on that was Sharp had, I think, among the most SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week awards.
Yeah.
He had three, I think.
That's correct.
I don't know what everybody else had, but had to have been right there with Stromberg as far
couldn't
as
couldn't win the Hall Award, though.
Yeah, I don't like the process of the Hall Award.
Yeah.
It's for the best I had
a couple of Ole Miss people tell me that Broker should not have won that award. I mean, when they're telling you,
isn't the award like the best pro prospect or something?
I don't know if it's that. It's supposed to go to just the best offensive lineman in the state. I think that it's voted on by the NFL scouts, so they probably see it a little differently than who's the best player this season. They think of who's the best projectable player, I guess.
Yeah, because in 2014. I took a ton of heat from Ole Miss fans whenever I said Ben Beckwith should have been the whole trophy winner.
Right, because he was four-time SEC.
Three or four-time offensive lineman of the week. I think he was All-American by a couple publications. Mm-hmm. He had a better season than Laramie Tunzel.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was Laramie Tunzel, he got the award, and all the Ole Miss people, you're just a fanboy. You're just picking the state guy. No, Ben Beckwith was the best offensive lineman in the state of Mississippi that year. Yeah, he was better than Laramie Tunzel. Yeah. And Tunzel was a first-round draft pick coming up a couple of years later, so they felt like he needed to be the guy. But I don't like that. Just pick the best guy.
So there we have the Ole Miss fans making fun of you, but the state fans made fun of you as well, and me, for taking Quinshon Judkins as our Connerly Award winner. Judkins, one of four unanimous selections to the first team, along with Brock Browers, the tight end from Georgia. His backfield running mate, Raheem's Rocket Sanders from Arkansas, and then as the aforementioned Will Anderson. You said you thought Forbes should have been an unanimous All-SEC prediction. I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I would tell you that, and I said this, that if you told me you voted Kool-Aid McKistry and Keely Ringo as your first team corners, I'm not going to really argue too hard against that. But Forbes would definitely have been deserving, probably deserving of more votes than he got for Defensive Player of the Year, too.
Was Ringo first team?
No, Kool-Aid was, and then Ringo and DJ James, former MSU commitment.
I had DJ James second team.
Mm-hmm. Hey, he was second team,
and I had my first team was Kool-Aid and Forbes.
There you go.
I actually had Dwight McLaughlin on there. He had a pretty good season for Arkansas.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, yeah. I'm trying to – is there anybody else that stands out? I think if he could have played a full season, Jaden Crumbity might have been on this list, the way he was playing in those four games that he got from Mississippi State.
He's just so valuable.
Be huge
in what he does for everybody else. I mean, yeah. You look at his numbers since he's been at State, and they're not that impressive.
Well, he's a lineman, but, you know.
But you have to consider that defense against Ole Miss and even, you know, the other games he played in was so much more physical up front with him out there.
Agreed.
And what could withstand a running game.
Yeah, agreed.
And I think that's going to be huge for them next year to get a full season out of him.
Yeah. So, all right. Tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. You know what to do with that. Send us your questions. We'll be happy to answer them. We'll have to talk some more recruiting later in the week, expecting to see some more commitments come in for Mississippi State after their first recruiting weekend of the early signing period. That signing day is the 21st. So we are, as you're listening today, 15 days away from the early signing period for college football. We'll continue to monitor the transfer portal. We'll see if anybody else with maroon and white ties jumped in. Maybe look at some guys on Thursday that maybe Mississippi State should be targeting. We mentioned Allie Jennings, the receiver, but who else should the Bulldogs be getting a look at? As the portal fills up, we'll have an idea of who they can look at and who might actually be interested in coming to Starkville. Plus, we got to keep talking MSU basketball this week. All right, guys, have a great Tuesday. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.